With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the 19th anniversary of 9/11, and just to give you a little scene right now, our studios are a 20-25 minute walk from the Freedom Tower, and then obviously a 20-25 minute walk from where the World Trade Center towers used to be. And I live in New York City, right in the Financial District, and I live 2-3 blocks from the 9/11 Memorial. So each and every day, I never forget that day of 9/11. And I remember growing up as a kid, I was actually a second grader, new school in Dix Hills, in the Dix Hills Comac area. And I'll never forget my teacher, Miss Crompierre, getting a phone call that day as her father was in the tower and one of the towers, and luckily he survived. But I remember the panic on her face when she got the phone call that day. And obviously everyone's lives did change after 9/11 2001. I'll never forget getting let out of school very early that day and then walking into my home and seeing the plane, one of the planes, go through the World Trade Center. So obviously it's very painful, but I do get a lot of pride when I walk past the 9/11 Memorial each and every day, because I like to remember the people that we lost that day and also the tremendous first responders that saved so many people's lives. And many first responders did lose their lives trying to help others. So on today, I think it's so important, even though we're gearing up for the football season and we're getting ready for another exciting football season, to honestly talk about 9/11. And right now, I think the perfect guest to bring on is Joanne Druzzi, because I said this in the open, sports were such a big part of the healing process and providing some normalcy. I'll never forget the Mike Piazza home run against the Braves, but then also watching Jets and Patriots and seeing Joanne Druzzi run out with two American flags to midfield, and he had his three heroic brothers who were all New York City firefighters at midfield. And it didn't matter that day if you were a Pats fan, if you were a Jets fan, you gave a standing ovation, and it was such an intense and powerful moment in our country, as the country was grieving back then and is still grieving now. So very fortunate to have Joanne Druzzi join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Joe, can't thank you enough for doing this. How you holding up?
I'm holding up, Zach. Good to talk to you again. Well, I hope all is well.
Yeah, I hope all is well with you and your family. So 19 years ago, I know you were in a dentist chair at an appointment. Just take me back to how you recall the awful events that occurred on 9/11 2001.
Well, once a year, it brings back those bad memories, those photographic images that hidden away in the back of your mind, that you're trying, not think about it, but you remember the moments, the times, and throughout the day on where you were and what you were doing. And like you said, I was in a dentist chair. First report was small plane hit, and then by the time I left, second one hit, and I got home and turned the TV on and saw the tragedy that was going on down the hall. And it was heart-wrenching, and having the feeling that if not one or maybe all three of my brothers were there. My father was a retired New York City cop also, and a lot of retired police and firemen went back to work also, calling both my parents and aunts, uncles, cousins. Nobody's answering. I had busy signals, tornado warnings, and just sitting there all day just watching TV, holding on to my wife and kids, and holding them nice and tight by my side, because not knowing what's going on, because after those two hit, then the Pentagon hit, and then you didn't know what was coming next. So it was just an eerie feeling. And best thing the NFL did that time was cancel that weekend, because there was no way, I don't think a lot of us could have played. Even myself go out there and play that weekend.
What was your first conversation like with your brothers that day when you were waiting to find out if they were alive or not? What was that conversation that you had with all three of them?
The conversation wasn't really had until Wednesday, then that Thursday, because when we went in Wednesday and sitting there, and I waited 12 hours on that Tuesday for my father to call me, and and he finally got in touch with me late night, like 11, 12 o'clock at night, and telling me that my brother gave somebody the phone number on the street, because he had a cell phone at that time. 2001, you remember cell phones? I mean, you were in second grade, you said. So cell phones weren't a big thing back then. And, he saw somebody with a phone and just said, can you please call my parents and tell them I'm alive? And he did that, and my father got in touch with me hours later and just letting me know. And, everybody was safe, but, it was also a lot of other things going on. My youngest brother just graduated the academy, and his first day on the job was 9/11. So this is 19th year and on the force for him, and he turned around and was breaking his bunker gear out of plastic, driving over the Verrazano Bridge, which I know you know where that is, and heading to the city and spend the next 8 hours trying to find my brother. And amazingly enough, he found him 8 hours later. Just kind of searching and searching, but, can never fathom what all of them went through. The brother got called into action also, and, just not only the day of, but also you think of the rescue effort, the cleanup effort. But once we canceled the NFL for that weekend, I told Coach Belichick I was going to go, I'm driving down to be with my family, and he was all for it. Said to go, and went down there, and my brother walked in the house, my parents' house, and he put his index finger right next to his thumb. No words needed to be said, and he said he looked at me, and he said, that's how close, and with tears in his eyes, and I gave him a great big hug and held on to him tight. And you can think about it, gives me some goosebumps, but, that's how close he was, and, running out of the tower when it was falling behind him, and, still working, because they lost so many. He needed to work every day and, be there and for his comrades and for his brothers at arms, and, knowing that there was more to be done, and people had to stick together and get stronger, and, stronger they did.
Joe Andruzzi here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. How old were your kids at the time, and had you explained to them what happened?
I had two at the time. I now have five.
Wow. Congrats. So,
my wife was pregnant with our third at the time. And so we had two. I think there were about four. My oldest was about four or five. And my second was probably two or three. No real explanation at a young age like that. They saw and they watched the TV, and just telling them at that time, very bad people out there that, hurt good people. And, it's what you have to explain at a young age. And, now that they're older, they know what their uncles do for a living. They know that they are the real heroes. They're running into burning buildings when everybody's running out, and it's that's who they should look up to, and I believe they do. They love they love their family and love everything about them.
The three moments, Joanne Drewsy, from sports that I remember was the George Bush, President George Bush, his first pitch, which was a perfect strike. Then I also remember the Piazza home run against the Braves. But, you know, your moment, too, was so memorable. So memorable, running out to the field with the emotion before Pats and Jets and the two American flags, and then the ovation that your three brothers did get that day. When you look back at that moment, what did it mean to you, and did you understand the importance at the time that sports did play in trying to help people get a distraction and try to return to some sort of normalcy in times that obviously weren't normal?
Well, at that time, and you know, being with my brothers and my family, going down there, and then Mr. Kraft coming up to me at the practice field the following week and asking me to ask my brothers to be honorary captains for that week. You know, I didn't think they'd be up for it because they weren't at first, and they didn't want any publicity for themselves, and you know, especially my brother who was in the tower. I mean, he had a battle with survivor guilt, remorse, and and it was a very tough time for him, and just being by his side and helping him through that. But also knowing that talking helped. But for us, and I talked to him and I said, God didn't take you that day. God chose you to do more on this earth, and in more that you do to pay it forward, to represent. And I said, you don't have to go out there. I don't care if you go out there. It doesn't matter to me or anybody, but it's going to matter to a lot of people that when you stand out there in your uniform and, it doesn't matter what your name is on your back, you're standing out there and representing a whole lot more people than you could ever imagine. And, and hopefully it's the first and last time we ever see the Patriots and Jets fans holding hands. So we don't want to see that again. But for me, it was a lot of butterflies, probably more butterflies and, different feeling that day than every Super Bowl I played in. It was tough to go out there. It was tough to get back out there. But knowing that, I put it in my mind that these next couple of hours, 3-4 hours, I'm going to help people get their mind off things. They're here to cheer us on and to represent and to know, we're going to go out there and get their mind off things was, rewarding for us and, to go out there and continue our work. But, tough on the same fact of still having my family there and, nothing more I cherish than, going out there and having them there for that Super Bowl win and holding that trophy up with them, because they're a part of that trophy as much as myself and my teammates and their families. It's a long, grueling season, but that year was especially long and grueling for me.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point, Joanne Drewsy, and it's one that I've never thought about because, a lot of times we take athletes for granted. People think Joanne Drewsy, they think about the great moments you had on the field and showing up in those big moments, protecting Tom Brady, and then for your brothers, they think of the heroics and all they do saving people. But, you guys are real humans that have emotions and you see a lot of awful things. And for you guys, your whole family had the level of success that you've had and the mental toughness of the family to be able to continue to go on through that season, it's really remarkable how you did it.
Well, I leave it all and to my parents. We had a great upbringing. And four boys, we got in trouble a lot. So you can imagine four boys in New York City, loudmouth New York Italian family, and our grandparents were straight off the boat, and they came over here at a young age and instilled heart and dedication on learning a new trait and learn a new language. There was no issues of speaking a different language. So when he came over, it was English was the spoken language, and they had to learn that. They had to learn a new trade. And my grandmother had 8 kids, and when they, there was no college back then, and a lot of them did go into the service or even the police and fire, and then turning around and being able to earn, if you're still living at home, and earn some money where you can help pay the bills, and that's how life was back then. Especially there was no real birth control back in the day, and the hard work and dedication was instilled on them and my parents, and instilled them on us, and we worked for everything we got, and that's how I made it into the league from a small Division II team. And I was studying to be a special ed teacher, and football kind of derailed me a little bit. And for me, I loved playing football. It was just an added bonus for me to go to college. And and I still had, I didn't get any scholarships at first, and it was something I had to work for. And even getting in the NFL and having a chance and getting to Green Bay and showing up with a big fat zero bonus, and signed my rookie free agent contract, and then even taking the big pen that I signed the contract with. So I'd got in the league and scrounged from the bottom. And so, and I love proving people wrong, and that's what I strive for.
Joe Andruzzi here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. Make sure you follow his foundation, the Joe Andruzzi Foundation, Joe Andruzzi, FNDN on Twitter. Joe, tell us about all the great work that your foundation does.
Yeah, joeandruzzifoundation.org has a lot of our information on there. But during 2007, I finished my 10th year in the league and about to go play for my 11th somewhere. And working out and not feeling so good, and had a stomach ache, and continued to get worse and worse. And ironically, God works in funny ways, as I told my brother. And he told me, and he was told a lot of times, where what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And for me, I try to live by those words, because I had the battle for my life, fought a lot of battles, and almost 20 years on the football field, and here I was battling from a hospital bed. I was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of cancer called Burkitt's lymphoma. I was hospitalized and for about 50 plus days, sometimes 5 to 10 days straight of chemo. And it was a battle. And a lot of it I don't remember, because it's called chemo brain. If anybody knows that out there, it's not fun, but there's a reason why they call it chemo brain. Because you really don't want to remember. And being there and going through that toughest time, it wasn't fun. And having 4 kids at that time, and and them being at home and trying to keep them busy. My wife Jen was my rock, and she was at the hospital till late night sometimes sleeping over, but getting up at 5 a.m. to drive home so the kids woke up with a parent home. So, and so people ask Kyrie, like, same thing, like, how'd you do it? And you don't think, you just do. And, that was her answer. And, we ended up starting the foundation May 2008, going on our 13th year now. And it's truly amazing work that we do, and we love being a part of so many families. We help any cancer, any age, all throughout New England, helping those families and individuals with those home end bills that are sometimes forgotten about. So we help with mortgage, rent, utilities, and things like that. That nothing medical, because medical can be put on payment plans, and others not so easy. So for us to step in and do that. I know I was fortunate to play in the NFL for 10 years, so others aren't as fortunate. Some have a child where they got to stop working. Some live paycheck to paycheck. And some sit out there and have to contemplate either buying their medication or putting food on the table. So we step in and we try and relieve a little bit of that burden and help their loved ones. And since our incentive in May 2008, we've helped almost 30,000 individuals.
Wow.
In this area. And there's 30,000 more to come. And that's the scary thing about it. And, you know, even what's going on in this world right now, and, you know, cancer didn't disappear. But, you know, it's still out there, and it just so happens that we fall into the small business category. So, you know, it's not a business for profits and nonprofit. Of course, I don't get paid. And, you know, the way I get paid is hugs and from strangers. And, you know, right now you can't get any hugs because it's just, you know, a fist pump or an elbow bump. And I'll take those right now because there's still a lot of support out there. There's still a lot of our supporters that want to pay forward and want to help. And, you know, being a part of the Boston Marathon for years now and being able to go out there and, you know, I hung up my shoes when I retired, and now I pick up pom-poms. So I'm a cheerleader now. I just don't wear a skirt. So trust me, you don't want to see me in a skirt, Zach. So, it, yeah, it's all good. But
no one wants to see me in one either. Yeah. We're both two large New Yorkers.
Well, large, hairy New Yorker here, Italian hairy. And then, but I put my pom-poms on and I cheer. My wife's ran it three times. And, yeah, we were there in 2013. And, you know, you talk about another eerie situation that, you know, that all of a sudden that the phones weren't working again. And then bombings hit. And, you know, the two people from the Boston area decided to take the lives of a few innocent individuals and hurt many, many people out here at the finish line. So being a part of that and knowing the feelings and that my brothers and their colleagues were going through, because seeing how many people were running down the finish line to Boylston Street, running down Boylston Street instead of running away, was truly amazing. So, you know, by all means, and it's hats off to everybody, but the words that came out were Boston strong. And, you know, it falls in line with my brother had told me for years during, you know, after his battle after 9/11 and after my battle with cancer, what doesn't kill you gets you stronger. And, you know, and I believe in those words. And I tell people all the time, you know, we're still here. God didn't choose us. God chose us to still be here and, you know, still live our lives. And, you know, many of those individuals that were hurt that day have now moved on and started foundations. One of them started a foundation to help kids and other adults with their amputees. And that's truly, you know, it's amazing. They didn't have to lose their legs. They got sick and they didn't have to do that. But, you know, unfortunately, maybe, you know, they lost a leg or an arm and complications and things like that, and now they're able to pay it forward. Now they're able to help others. Taking you know, taking the good out of a tragedy is truly amazing, and it's not always easy for a lot of people, but, you know, many people out there, there's been a lot of different great work coming out of you know, 19 years ago, and, you know, knowing the tunnel to towers and all the great things that they do down there. And my brother's friend, the Dewan family, doing stuff. They're from the Boston area, but he was a FDNY, my brother's buddy, and they ran fundraisers. So, you know, take the good out of the bad, and it'll help you heal, and time will heal. But, you know, you talk about Piazza and all that. If anybody didn't ever get a chance to get down to the museum over there, I know you said you walked past it, but you go in there, they've done a remarkable job. My first time back was 2 years ago, since 2001. And we were invited down to go open up the sports part of 9/11. And we are a part of the 9/11 museum, my brothers and I, and along with Mike Piazza and Wayne Gretzky and Joe Torre. They did a whole show down there, and I tell you, they really preserved and really did a great job with that museum. I'm sure you've been there, Zach. And,
yeah.
You know, it's amazing in there, and I brought my kids down there to, you know, take it all in, and that they did.
Joe, can't thank you enough. Once again, joeandruzzifoundation.org. Good health to you and your family. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. God bless, though.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.